Now, I went away on tour. I went on tour like 6 weeks after he was born, which I would never, ever, if anybody's out there, don't ever do that ever. It's a bad idea. But yeah, and that was really tough. But it's just like, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
Hey everybody, I am Jet, co-host and producer of More Music in the Mornings with Nick Harcourt and Jet, and I'm here joined by Matt, who is the lead singer of a band called Low Moon. Very excited to see you again, Matt.
You too.
Very, very excited. Last time I saw you was at South by Southwest.
Yep.
So pre-album, album hadn't come out yet.
Right before the album.
Yeah, yep. It was like a
couple weeks before.
Yeah, so saw you then, fantastic set. You guys were amazing. You closed it out. You closed out our Radio Day stage at South By, so that was fantastic to see. But since then, you've now released the album, which is I Wish You Way More Than Luck, which I love the title of that. And then also, of course, I have to mention the fact that you're going to be playing our hometown. We've got SoCal shows coming up. So on the 4th of February, you're going to be at the Roxy in my old stomping ground in WeHo. And then you're also going to be down in San Diego, and that's going to be at the Casbah on February 5th. So I'm really looking forward to both of those shows.
Thank you.
But
we are too.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be awesome. I feel like you guys have just been so go, go, go since I last saw you. I mean, when did you kick off the tour?
Well, we started with these residencies before the album came out. So we did that in LA, London, and New York. And then we did, then the record came out, I think, in March or April.
Yeah, I think April 5th.
Yeah, April 5th. Good, you know it better than me. And then, we haven't really stopped. We went over to the UK and Europe. And then we did the East Coast. And now we're going to finish on the West Coast.
How are the fan bases? How do you feel the reception?
It's really interesting. I mean, like in the UK and Europe, it's very, very rabid. Like they're really, really excited about it. It's really fun and completely different shows. So it's really cool. We went from UK shows to the US shows, and they're different. Both are great. It's just the UK. I think our influences are very UK. I know.
Yeah.
So I think there's like they feel like a connection to it.
Because growing up, you had more of a connection to like Genesis because your dad.
Yes,
Peter
exactly.
Gabriel, having
exactly.
that, and, you know, just having that kind of a little bit of a new wave aspect as well in
totally.
There. So I think that definitely plays to that.
It's just like palatable for them. They're very used to it. It's like what they know.
Yeah.
And, you know, the bands like Talk Talk and the Blue Nile, they're very obsessed with those bands. And they see us as like, oh, you guys are doing that thing. Yeah. In 2024, 2025.
And
that's
like,
exciting.
The War on Drugs totally is kind of in that vein too, makes sense.
Totally.
Like,
We opened for them across UK and Europe on the last tour of theirs. Yeah. And that really helped over there. Like we did arenas with them.
Wow.
And their fan base really took to us, and like we're super grateful for, you know, that really changed the game for us over there.
Yeah, and I know that you're like, you're friends with Adam and you've worked with him too.
Yeah.
So it's like, how's your relationship and working relationship?
Is he
super simpatico?
We don't work that much together. We talk about music all the time and we hang out a lot, but like it's more just like he is a mentor to me.
Yeah.
And I think that you need those people in this industry, especially as a songwriter. It's really, you know, it's someone I look up to, but also he's just been really great about sharing the knowledge and kind of keeping me going and keeping us excited about making records. And he's just, he's an inspirational. And that whole band is just inspirational.
It's nice to have somebody like solid, in that industry, because, you know, it is, even though people think that it's so massive because it's broadcast everywhere, you see music everywhere, it really is small. It's
very
a small community. And so it's like when you can find your tribe, find the people that you really gravitate towards and respect, I feel like that having that connection is like
100%.
It's massive.
It's massive in this industry, and it's hard to keep going sometimes. And I think that you know, and it's hard to find inspiration all the time. You need to search for it. And someone like him, he's just constantly working and trying to make better records. And
You're kind of always trying to do better than yourself the last time. And it's gotta be, I mean, and talking about traveling too, you know, you're traveling all the time. I feel like you guys are just constantly go, go, go. So as far as the creative process is concerned, how are you writing? Are you writing on the road the majority of the time, or are you making sure with the band to carve out time to get you guys all in one area to like to sit there and like really work on the music?
Yeah, I mean, it, like for the previous records, mm-hmm. I would have written something or started something on my own or with Sam or with everyone.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like whenever it happened, we would chase it down. The record, you know, I want to start on writing a new record, and we're just going to get in a room for 10 days and record and then take that home. So we're going to start from the band, and I'm actually going to just not bring anything in and just see what happens. Let that dictate. Like, and then take those things home and work on the lyrics or melodies, but really just, I want to just dive into that world because we've played so many shows.
Yep.
We haven't ever really recorded that way. We've recorded that way a little bit, but I think it'd be really good for us to do that and push ourselves.
It's a good avenue too, to try something new, push yourself creatively.
It'll be the fourth record, so it's kind of time for us to just try something.
You have to.
And for our own creative, like we need to feel creatively fulfilled as well. And Sam and I were talking about it the other day. It's like the three of us, me, Sam, and Santa, sitting in my studio, staring at each other. Just, we don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to get in a room with the four of us and Johnny now playing drums and just like create for 10 days and not think about what that is. And then don't
kind
be like,
have a
we're
symposium
yeah,
of
exactly.
sorts. Yeah, absolutely.
So you're like, you know, and take that home and see what it is. And I bet it'd be interesting because we haven't really explored that much.
Yeah.
So it'll be different, which I think we're very excited about.
And I mean, it's such a departure too from working on this most recent album where it was during COVID, during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it, as we were saying earlier, it kind of happened all over the place.
Yep.
There was some done in Connecticut and things like that. But it's like, it's such a different sort of situation. It's probably good to try something new.
We need to.
Especially after being forced to do something a certain way.
Totally.
It's probably good to have that. Let's change it up a little bit. Let's mix it up. So I did notice that the album title also happens to be the last line of David Foster Wallace's This Is Water.
Yeah.
So would you say that like maybe part of the theme of this album is a little bit about, you know, mindfulness over autopilot, really thinking, and rather than just being a lemming in a way? Does that kind of intersperse itself a little bit?
The whole album was based around the time that I discovered my voice as I was in high school and I first learned how to play guitar and sang.
Yeah.
And I kind of forgot why I started writing music. You know, it was very visceral. It was very emotional. It was like, I just didn't know how to express myself after 9/11. So I wrote a song about it. Yeah. Not a great song. But the idea behind that was that something triggered me to go like, I need to write something to express how I'm feeling because I don't know how to put it in words.
Yep.
And so for this record, I was like, I want to get back to that place. And obviously it was 2020. So the pandemic.
Another gigantic
moment
in time.
And the paradigm shift of that kind of made me go like, oh, let me get back to my roots and get excited about writing music and emotionally connect to why I'm doing this. And a lot of that record, you know, a lot of that time in high school informed this record.
Wow.
And that speech by Foster Wallace was a commencement speech, which I thought was really interesting. And I read a lot of Foster Wallace during the pandemic. And so he obviously, that creeped in there.
It creeps in,
It creeps
I mean,
in
it's
there.
All, it's influenced from all around.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, you do hear a little bit of Gabriel influence
100%.
In there. You hear a little bit of the War on Drugs influence
100%.
In there. You're going to hear the literature that you're reading.
Yeah.
So that makes sense when you immerse yourself into something. Is there something that, I mean, obviously you're going to get with the band first and then kind of try a new thing. Is there like maybe a theme or an avenue that you want to explore? Because I know you're a new dad, right?
New dad is definitely, it's,
do you think
I don't think it's, it's
there?
Interesting. I've thought about it a lot. Mm-hmm. The new dad part, I think, is just automatically going to be in there.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really interesting because my life, I say to the guys all the time, it is completely different. You can never go back to not being a dad.
Yeah.
Like when you're a new dad, you're a dad.
Yep.
And it's my being now and it's part of me. So I think I'm just going to take that in with me. and emotionally connect to that. I don't see myself writing a record about my son. Like,
yeah, it's not a purposeful thing you're going to do. You're not on that mission, but it'll probably find its way
because that event, like 9/11, the fires, there's these events that happen that change your world, mm-hmm. and that's the biggest. That's the biggest change I'll ever probably have until I have another one.
I know. It's like, it's just trying to put, because I don't have a kid yet, but it's like trying to put myself in that feeling. You know, I always try to think of like, what is a song that would come into my head for that event and things like that? Because I'm always tracking my life.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah.
You know, I kind of have this like weird montage that's always going on in my head, but I definitely feel it's going to find its way into there, and it's going to be a beautiful moment. I think it will.
I think there's no way it can't.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's changed my life so much. So, and then I think it's just more about outlook and how I'm feeling on a day to day, you know, and I'm going to take that into the band, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so exciting. Lyrically, I bet it will seep in. Yeah.
It will definitely seep in for sure. Yeah. And then so my number one question that I love to end on, and I had to prompt you earlier because, you know, it's a difficult question. It can change. I know it can change at any moment of the day. But off the top of your head, let's say tonight you're going to go out, you're going to, you know, make reservations somewhere, and you could choose three people, living or dead. It could be a musician, artist, anything or not. It could be family. It could be anything. Three people. Who would you be taking to dinner tonight if you could?
I would take Steinbeck. I would take Bruce Springsteen. And I would take... I would probably take Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, the great one. Yeah. Yes.
And Gretzky only because... Well, I just imagine what those three people would talk about. And the way I think about it, like, they're all masters of their craft. Mm-hmm. Gretzky could replace him with my favorite hockey player ever, Pat LaFontaine, but not many people know who that is. So, but I just, they're all great. There's so much greatness there and so much to learn.
Yep. And all very different.
Exactly. Yeah. In all different places that I'm really interested in literature, in music, and in hockey. Those are my like three favorite things in the world.
I love that.
Yeah, and so I think a conversation with those three people would be really interesting.
It's very fascinating because you have one that's more, you know, literature, philosophy based. You've got another that is more, you know, obviously artistic.
A hero of mine as well.
Yeah.
Like Bruce is a hero of mine.
He's amazing. Yeah. So it's like you've got that, and then you've also got Gretzky, which, you know, and thank you for putting a hockey reference in there.
Yeah, well, no, it's just
that's
like,
that's my
life. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
You and I are like the only two people.
Those are the two things that I watch.
Because of Drive to Survive or just because?
So, no, just because, well, I got really, really into F1 during the pandemic, of course.
So a lot of people did. It really shifted.
It definitely shifted, but I had always been into racing. When I was 12, I went to Irwindale Speedway for my 12th birthday
because
all I wanted were race cars, and I loved them since I was little. So
that's
when
amazing.
I was like five, my dad built a racetrack around the backyard, and like we put like pennies on top of cars to weigh them down, and set the Hot Wheels to go, and it was super fun. So
that's awesome.
I'm excited for you to have that bonding moment too, as well as your son gets older too.
I can't wait for that.
And like see these different stages and how it changes you personally and like
totally
develops your career even more in like a different exciting way.
Yeah, and you just have to be like, you have to let go. A lot of this I've found in the last, he's only 4 months old, but letting go of like, you just, a lot of the life that you knew or that is just gone, and you just have to be okay with letting that go and be like, this is the new life that I'm stepping into, and it'll be great. It is just extremely different.
Do you think that maybe there might be a sense of mourning a previous life?
We had
with
that.
With obvious, you know, there's a brighter
my
side.
My wife and I have
it.
That all the time. I mean, I think we do that every day.
Yeah.
We do. It's like, oh, we'll do this, and then we can't do that.
Yeah.
We have this, and he really, he is the center of the universe, which is a beautiful thing. I wouldn't want it any other way, but that is the truth. And everyone says that to you, and even when like you're about to have a kid, you're like, yeah, whatever, I'll do.
Yeah.
It's not.
But it's
like
when they're actually here.
Yeah.
Then it's,
and I went away on tour. I went on tour like 6 weeks after he was born, which I would never, ever, if anybody's out there, don't ever do that ever. It's a bad idea. But yeah, and that was really tough. But it's just like, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing. It's amazing.
Do you look forward to down the road when he's older, taking family out?
Absolutely.
Getting him on the road with you?
Yeah, I just want him to know. I think it's really interesting to know your dad as an artist.
100%.
Like, and I think that's something that I'm constantly like, I want to be better because I want him to know me as a great artist or, you know, someone who wrote better songs as he got older. That's what I want.
Well, and it's a way to share your art
exactly.
with him. And who knows?
Not that he's going to care.
Yeah. I mean, you know, every
dads
kid
are not
goes,
cool.
Oh, like, dad, mom, they're so lame.
Like, dads are lame. Like, yeah. Sons are like, oh, my dad's lame. Or they're like, they're into their dad. Oh,
but we'll now see. You get to start your collection of dad jokes, so it's perfect.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Well, Matt, congratulations on The Little One.
Thank
Congrats
you.
On the album. I Wish You Way More Than Luck came out April 5th. It is fantastic. You have to get it. Get it on vinyl too, please.
Thank you.
And also, I'll see you on February 4th. I'm gonna see you at the Roxy.
Amazing.
It's gonna be fantastic.
Blast from the past at
we're
the
gonna
Roxy.
Have we're gonna have people there,
Great.
Table there, everybody there. So yeah, you guys are like family. So
feels like that. Thanks for the support.
For
you guys are always here for us. Yeah, thank
Absolutely.
You so much. We love it.
Thanks.
Thank you. known in my whole life, if you decide that you ever need me, I'll be down under iron sky. Thank you. and reaching out for God to fill the void.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Jet. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Over the air at 88.5 FM and streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.